This is the last sermon in this series on exhortations to be. The scripture reading for today on be self-controlled and alert is 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Peter writes, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." The New King James Version has that first part, "Be sober and be vigilant." I've talked about a number of things we should be as Christians and as an outward expression of that, things that we should also do. And in this scripture that I read to you, Peter exhorts or strongly encourages us to be self-controlled and alert. This must have been something Peter was concerned about because he mentions it three times in this particular letter. He tells us that those of us who are Christians need to be aware. We need to be alert to what's going on in our own lives and what's going on all around us in the world, because there's so much evil and trouble happening all the time in our world that we tend to want to sign off on it. We tend to want to tune it out. But you know, as Christians, we simply cannot do that. It's a standard practice for military bases to have guards that keep watch over the premises. They monitor all of the comings and goings. If you've ever been in one of these places, you know that you can't just go in and walk in without any introduction or without being quizzed or a little bit. They want to know who you are, what you're doing, and so forth. It's their responsibility to see if they see something suspicious, to investigate it and to take care of it. They are charged, in other words, with keeping watch over that base and keeping it safe. In a sense, this is what James is talking about when he says we must remain vigilant as Christians, because there are enemies who seek to hurt and who want to destroy us. They want to cause us trouble. They want to interfere in our lives, and they want to make it hard for us to follow Jesus. As I've said before, the attitude in our country has changed greatly in the last few years. I remember when I was just a little kid, there was sort of an open acceptance of Christianity and almost total acceptance of it. You know, everybody went to church. Everybody was involved in some way or another with Christianity on a large scale. But then there came a period of indifference when people stopped being interested and many just became indifferent to Christianity. They just didn't want to have anything to do with it. And then there came a period of outright hostility, which is what we're in right now, where people are against the things that we believe and hold dear in our hearts. That all happened in the span of my lifetime. And it makes us wonder what will happen next. Will there be revival or will there be persecution? I believe it's going to be one or the other. We prefer revival, don't we? We prefer that God's Holy Spirit would sweep across this land and touch people's hearts and turn them to the Lord and cause them to cry out to Him and cause them to repent and cause great things to happen in our country. But that only happens when there is a wide-scale turning to the Lord through heartfelt prayer and repentance. And in the meantime, those of us who are here and are holding forth the mantle of Christianity have to be on our guard. We can't let up. We can't take a nap, so to speak. We can't sleep while things are happening around us. Peter says that there's one enemy in particular that we have to watch out for. He says the devil prowls around. Get that figure of speech in your mind. He prowls around like a lion, looking for someone to what? Devour. He wants to devour us as Christians. A roaring lion, we are told, is what he is like. It's interesting that James or that Peter chooses this term, roaring lion. What happens in nature when a real lion roars? What happens? Well, all the other animals in the forest, in the jungle, or wherever, they shake with fear because they know that lion is on the prowl, and they know that he's after someone or something because he's wanting something to eat. And it strikes fear into their hearts because they know he is on the prowl. In the same way, the devil wants to make us fearful. When he roars, he wants us to quake in our boots. He wants us to shake and be very afraid of what he might do to us. Going back to that analogy of the lion, when lions go hunting, they often pick out certain animals to be their game. They pick out those who are isolated. They pick out those who are weak. And that is the reason why we who are Christians must keep strong. Remember, I preached on be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's what we have to do as Christians. We have to be strong in Him, in the Lord. We have to be able to withstand and stand when the enemy comes around. We have to stay connected with other Christians because we are not capable of really making it on our own. And we're not supposed to do that anyway. When Christians try to go alone, they have a lot of trouble. I've seen it happen over and over again, and I'm sure you have too. There have been people in the church, people who become to the Lord, and they're very active in the fellowship of the church, and one day they just sort of stop coming, and they drift off, and you don't see them anymore, and you wonder, what happened to them? Well, we would say they went to sleep. They decided there were other things that they would rather be doing, or they just were careless in their attitude toward their relationship with the Lord and with His people. It's a good reason for us to stay united within the church as well. Because when we present our united front, it's stronger, much stronger than we're trying to do it all by ourselves. United we stand, and divided we fall. I believe that's the Kentucky state motto, isn't it? And I think there's something that we all need to think about, at least for our state as well. Remember those old westerns that we watched as kids on Saturday? Go to the movie and watch those westerns. Whenever a wagon train was attacked, they'd always circle the wagons and try to present a united front against the attackers. That is a good picture of the church. Whenever we are attacked, we need to be in fellowship with other Christians so that we can circle the wagons, so to speak, so that we can put our strength together, so that we can pray for one another, we can stand for one another, we can help one another, and we don't have to do it alone. We don't have to try to do it alone. When someone decides to leave or just drift off, they become very vulnerable, as you know. And that's exactly who the devil is looking for. People like that who have drifted away, who have allowed themselves to be separated from the fellowship of the church. We know that the enemy is not able to destroy our salvation, unless we allow him to, of course. What he does, though, he tries to weaken our faith and render us ineffective. Because if we're going around with a weak faith, we're not very effective as Christians, are we? We can't believe for much. We can't do much because we're afraid all the time. So he wants us to be strong in our faith so that the devil cannot attack us. Or if he does try to attack us, he won't get anywhere with us. And that's why he tells us to do what to do about it. Peter says, this is what you need to do as Christians. In the first place, he says, when the devil attacks us in some way, and you know he does that constantly, we must resist him. We must resist him. That's not to say that everything bad that happens to us is openly caused by the devil, but he is behind much of the evil that is happening in the world today and much of the things that happen to us. When we are tempted or tried, we have to remember that we, along with all that concerns us, belongs to the Lord, and He has no part in it, and the devil has no right to any of it. I've often said out loud, "Satan, get your hands off my life and my loved ones and all that belongs to us, because we are God's property, and you have no right. You have no right to come in and to try to steal it. We are God's property." Of course, that means we must commit to the Lord all that is important to us. We must commit to Him, because as the Apostle Paul says, He is able to keep that, what? Which I have committed unto Him that day. If we commit it to the Lord, He will help us to keep it. Therefore, when He comes around, we have the right and the responsibility as Christian to resist Him, not just lay down and let Him run over us. We have the right and the responsibility to refuse or comply or accept any of His attempts to weaken and to hurt us. Paul said in Ephesians, "Don't give the devil a foothold." Another translation says, "Give no place to the devil." Give no place. When the devil comes knocking at our door, what do? We don't open it and we say, "Come right in, make yourself at home." If we do, we're in trouble. We don't do that. We shut the door in his face and keep it closed and say, "You can't come in." We have that right and that responsibility. Not in our own strength alone, but in the strength that God provides, in the strength that Jesus gives to us. Now, using that analogy of the lion in the natural world, when a lion attacks his prey, whatever it is, that prey doesn't just lay down and say, "Okay, go ahead and eat me." At the least, the prey will try to escape, try to run away. And in some instances, that prey might even try to fight back. As Christians, I'm afraid we often attempt to run away from such conflicts. Or what's even worse, we don't even know what the devil's doing. We don't understand his schemes. We don't see what we're up against in him. I'm afraid that we forget that we have the power through the Holy Spirit and the authority to use that power, not just to defend ourselves, but to destroy the works of the devil. You know, that's what we are told. That's the reason Jesus came into the world, to destroy the works of the devil. And he's given that to us. He's given that responsibility to us to defend ourselves, yes, but also to go on the offense and destroy those works of the devil. Now, I watched some of the teams that performed on the recent basketball tournament, as I'm sure some of you did. And I got the feeling that I was watching that some were really trying to win those games, while others were just trying not to lose. There's a difference. And when we're dealing with the devil, we don't want to be not just trying to win, or not just trying to lose. We want to try to win, don't we? Because that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. The question is, what are we supposed to do as Christians and the church? I believe we are supposed to win. I believe that we have been given that responsibility and that constant. We are to contend earnestly for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Contend. Now, does that sound like something that we're just supposed to lay down and kind of let things roll over us? I don't think so. We're supposed to rise up and defend and contend and fight and win. Next thing Peter tells us is that we must stand firm in the faith. As I said before, the devil's strategy is to weaken our faith so that we can't hold fast when attacked. If we're weak in faith, if we don't really believe, we're vulnerable to his attacks and to him overcoming us. The way that the devil comes at this is very cunning, of course, because he tries to introduce the element of doubt in our minds. If we just start doubting a little bit, doesn't have to be a big thing, but just a little bit, we start doubting, the seed of doubt is planted in our minds or in our hearts and in our faith. We can see how costly that was to the Israelites, whose doubt led them to mistrust God. It kept a whole generation of Israelites out of the promised land. Why? Because they doubted God. They mistrusted Him. They didn't believe that He would do what He said He would do. And that was very costly to them. As a result, they missed out on the blessing that God wanted them to have. And we will too, if we don't allow the devil to steal from us as he has tried to do. Someone has said, for Christians, doubt is a luxury we cannot afford. Think about that. Doubt is a luxury we cannot afford. It's very important, even crucial, that we believe that God's word is true. There's almost a tide of disbelief rolling across our country today. And people are being brought into that. They're being touched by that. They're being affected by that. And its whole purpose is just to get us to let go of the truth. Because once we let go, we're sunk, my friends. We have nothing to stand on. It's very important that we believe with all of our hearts that God's word is true, without equivocation. Remember the famous lie that the devil told Adam and Eve? When they doubted the word of God, what God had told them, when they doubted that word from the Lord, and they believed it, they believed the lie, it caused a horrendous fall. Horrendous fall, which has affected everything and everyone since. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we do not believe the truth of God's word, our faith has no foundation. We are like the one in Jesus' teaching about building a house on the sand. When the storms come, the building falls down because there's no foundation. In that case, we are subject to being moved off our faith stance. The devil will use many tricks simply to get us to doubt. But we must hold on to the truth with all of our might. Like a bulldog gets a hold of something and won't let go. You know, I had a dog when I was growing up, and we used to play softball out in our front yard. He would sit there and he would watch us, and we'd hit the ball out, and he'd run and get the ball, get it in his mouth, then he'd run off. We'd have to chase him. And once we caught him, that was only half the problem. We had to get that ball out of his mouth because he wouldn't let go of it. And that's the way we must be concerning our faith. We have to hold on and don't let go. Finally, Peter tells us to remember that we are not alone in this struggle. For there are many others who are trying to stand strong in the Lord. There are all kinds of tests and trials that we are going to go through in our lives. There are Christians in the world right now who are being severely tried and tested, who are being persecuted because of their faith. We don't know what's going to happen in the days ahead, but it's conceivable that a time will come when it is not only unpopular, but dangerous to be a Christian right here in the USA. I pray that that time never comes, and I'm sure you agree too that you don't want to see that happen in our lives. But if it does, the question is, will we be ready? And what will our response be? One thing is for certain. If we wait until the last minute to prepare, it will probably be too late. Now is the time. Now is the time to strengthen our faith so that we can stand, to strengthen our relationship so that we will not be moved off of our faith, to be as strong in the Lord as we can possibly be, so that no matter what it comes, it may knock us down, but it won't knock us out. And that means that we will go on in the Lord. And that's what we all desire to do. Amen? Let's pray together. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have called us to be your people. You have given us the truth through your Son, Jesus, who was the truth, who is the truth. And He is also the life and the way. Father, help us to hold on to our faith, that faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints, that faith which will bring about things that seem impossible to people. That faith that will cause us to stand strong in the face of persecution and doubt and all kinds of trials and tribulations. Father, even this coming week we may be tested. So help us, Lord, to stand firm in that faith, to stand firm on that truth. And we know, Father, that you will see us through. And we thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen.